Hey, hey, what do you say? Good day, everybody. This is Chuck Gines with Republic Affair. From the religious right to the collectivist left. Oh, I hold no quarter. All right, I got a good show today. Important show. Ha ha. Let's get down to it. All right, today I want to talk a little bit about the biblical use of the justification of slavery. And how this topic came up had to do with someone on Facebook had brought up the topic of what's going on over in the Middle East. And several people on his thread were maintaining that this really has nothing to do with religion. It's just people do this kind of stuff, and it's more political, and religion really is just a scapegoat. One of the persons said that, it's people. People misinterpret and justify. Religion is just a scapegoat, okay? And this is a common theme that we get, regardless of which religious person that you're speaking to. If you're talking to a Muslim about whether or not Islam is a religion of peace, they will say that the jihadis have twisted the text and hijacked the religion and all of this kind of thing. Well, we're going to get into a little bit of that because that's just not the case at all. The texts are very, very clear about what they say. So getting back to the issue of slavery, very, very interesting. And I'm going to mention a couple of different books here. And I also want to talk about, how these conversations tend to go. Very difficult to have conversations. And most of the time when I actually debate with the Christian or whoever it is that I'm Muslim, doesn't matter, I'm usually not really debating them. Most of the time those people are just not really interested in any kind. There's no intellectual honesty. They're very attached to their prior commitments to their religion, and you're not going to move them. Even the reason I'm making this podcast isn't to change the minds of the people that I was arguing with at all. I mean, you're not going to move them at any time soon. I do these things and make these arguments on Facebook for people who are a little more intellectually honest and maybe open to some of these ideas and some of the information that I like to provide. So, yeah, here was the problem with the abolition movement. A lot of people will say, well, a lot of the abolition movement was a lot of Christians involved. And yeah, there were. There's no doubt about that. That's not the point. The problem for the Christian abolitionist was they could not use their book for moral justification. They couldn't find any foundation for their cause, because there is not any verse in the Bible that even comes remotely close to condemning the institution of slavery. In fact, quite the opposite is true. Both Old and New Testaments absolutely support. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament, it is God himself, first person, that is actually commanding not only slavery, but infanticide, genocide, murder, I mean, all kinds of things. It's all in there. And then in the New Testament, if you go to Timothy and even Christ himself, you know, there's all kinds of things. So the abolitionists didn't have what they needed to fight. And yet the Southern slave owners, man, the Bible was the number one thing that they used to argue the moral justification of the institution of slavery. They had all that they needed. Ooh, this was a real problem. So one of the first thing arguments that came up, it's known as the Barth's hypothesis, I think is how you pronounce his last name. And people still make this argument today. I'm talking like a long time ago, 150 years ago, this was a debunked argument. Actually, the slave owners laughed at this argument a lot. They thought it was great. But the argument kind of goes, and this lady that I was talking with is kind of hinting at that, the slavery in the Bible really wasn't the kind of slavery that you think of. It's more of indentured servitude and... don't really want. it's absolutely ridiculous. Slavery was slavery, and it just was. Sure, there were some indentured servants, and there is some restrictions on how long you can hold indentured servants and stuff like that. And you're not supposed to enslave Jews for life. I think it says. I don't remember all the details. It's been a while since I read it, but it's all there for you. These are, you know, how to own slaves. See, these are explicit details on how to own slaves and how not to own slaves, and it's not all indentured servitude. It's slavery, man. Slavery's been around forever. It's around today. I mean, the Muslims are still involved in the slave trade at a massive level because their books also justify it. See, it's not just Christianity. It's religion in general tends to condone slavery. Again, it's part of tribalism. Religion is part of tribalism, and slavery is part of tribalism. It's all part of that same worldview. So yeah, that's a semantics game that Christians like to play a lot, but it doesn't hold any sort of water. Now, usually how these conversations go is that they will say something. What did she say here? She says, honestly, I'm a Christian. Nowhere in the gospel does it feed hate. It does the exact opposite. Well, so how these conversations usually go with these religious people is they'll make some statement like we just said. The premise is that, it's not really religion. These evil entities have hijacked it. So then what I will do, or most rational, free-thinking people, fact-based people will do, is I'll lay out a case. I usually write a little couple of paragraphs. I include books and citations, and in this case, I even gave her about half a dozen verses right out of the scriptures themselves. But after you do this, after you lay out a rational, fact-based case, generally what these people do, not just religious people, relativists do this too on the left, but we're focusing on these guys, they will step right over that as if you didn't even say a word. And then they'll like spew all this opinion and give you some, some verse off of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount or something, as if that refutes everything that you just said. The other thing that's amazing to me, a lot of times when you talk with Christians and you talk about the slavery in the Bible, what are you talking about? You know, like this lady, she says that she studied the Bible and she actually asked me, where are you getting that God condoned slavery in the Old Testament? What does she say? Because it's really almost comical. Oh, she says that it's more correct to say that God doesn't support slavery. Well, I hate to tell you this. Not only does he support it, he orders it. And this is what always amazes me, man. How you guys make it through the minefield that is your Bible, and you miss all this stuff. See, this shit was bugging me when I was about 9. I was up in my room reading my Bible, and I was like, holy fuck, man. You know the walls of Jericho? Oh, what a great story. What a great story. Really? Man, they killed everybody, man. They killed the goats. They killed the sheep. They killed the babies, except for the virgins. You want to fuck the virgins, right? You got to fuck them virgins and kill them babies and the goats. I'm just telling you what it says in your own Bible, man. If you ain't read it, and it's amazing that people somehow read their Bible or say that they read it, and somehow, man, none of this even, like, touches their brain. Because the truth of the matter is that the Old Testament is a bloody-ass book. It's full of genocide, infanticide. Oh, my God, man. And how you can sit here in 2014 and try to educate me about something, I just don't get it, man. You need to go back and read your own scriptures. Now, again, let's look at the Quran a little bit, you know. I don't know how many Muslims I've gotten in the conversation where they're, you know, oh, you're not understanding. You need to go see an Islamic scholar and he'll explain it to you. What in the fuck is an Islamic scholar? Some sort of word magician that changes the meanings of things? I don't need no fucking Islamic scholar. It's the information age. I can order all the books online and read about the, and I have, and studied the history of Islam. I've read and studied the Quran. Lo and behold, I've even prayed a little salat, know a little Arabic about the prayers. I even practiced with a group of Sufis down in Carbondale for a while. So I'm not foreign to the Islamic world. And I also can read. And what he said was, what Muhammad said was, is to cut their fucking heads off. Until you've created a great slaughter. Now, maybe you could give me an Islamic scholar. Maybe he really meant, what he really meant is when you come across the infidels, invite them over for some tea, for some rational conversation. That's what he really meant. Yeah, right. I'm sorry, man. When I wake up in the morning, and all of us do, we wait just recently. My God, the blood all over the floor, and the kids, and the death, and the... Oh, God, it tears me up. It really, really does. And the beheadings that we've witnessed lately. And I don't sit here and think is, I'm not vexed. I'm not confused. I don't wonder, where did they get that idea? Because it's not a mystery where in the fuck they got that idea. They got that idea from their religion. And they didn't have to twist any damn thing. It says what it says. What is a moderate Muslim? A moderate Muslim is one that doesn't listen to that shit. That doesn't mean it's not there. That doesn't mean it doesn't say what it says. It just means that you choose, and thank God, to ignore that shit. But don't tell me that's not what it says, okay? And the same thing with the Bible. It's the same thing. In the same conversation, someone was saying, because we were talking about the ethnic cleansing that's going on due to Zionism and due to Judaism and the mixture of the two of these things. That's a tradition and a history. And someone said, oh, there's nothing in Judaism that would support any such thing like that. Well, I'm sorry. I mean, just go to the Talmud. It says that the Jewish soul is higher than anybody's soul. The Arab soul is like cattle. And you can kill them. It's there for you within the text, within the literature, in the Talmud, the Hadith. Yes, secondary sources, it doesn't matter. We could also use the Torah. We could also use the Quran. It doesn't matter what books you go. You can find various degrees of evil shit and justification to do evil shit within these books. And what's really troubling about all this is, like, several of the Muslims that I have on my wall are good people. I'm not... And they are as horrified as I am when they see the blood. We share this. But where we're different is that you're not being honest about the problem. See? And we can't have any solutions if we don't even acknowledge the actual source of the fucking problem. And Muhammad was a violent motherfucker, man. To say that... the call of Islam, the religion of peace, is just really, really wild, man. You know, Sam Harris recently got into all kinds of stink over his positions on this, and he's right. You know, like he said, it's a great parallel that he used. He's talking about, you know, we can say sports, but you know, it's a suitcase term. You know, there's badminton, golf. And then there's UFC Ultimate Fight, and these are not the same things, right? And different ideologies encourage certain things. So yes, there is this human nature. Yes, people do evil shit. We're primates. Yeah, unfortunately, we do. But certain things either lend to our base animal side, and some things kind of push us more along the evolutionary path, okay? They influence things. And religions, especially the Abrahamic religions, the cost-benefit analysis, I say it's time to get rid of them because they don't really provide... They do provide social interaction for the members. But, I mean, outside of that, we do not need the Bible or the Quran or any of these books for moral codes because they just don't serve as that. They're just hideous books. Absolutely hideous books. And we can come up with our own moral code. There's no doubt about it. That's what the Enlightenment was all about. It was in the Enlightenment that freed the slaves. It was, you know, it wasn't Christianity. We don't have a Judeo-Christian nation. We have a Greco-Roman nation. All this shit is bullshit. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit and it's bad for you, as Carlin would say. So yeah, within Judaism, there is justification for all the ethnic cleansing that they do. It's in there. Especially when you add Zionism, we can get it all into that. But it's time to stop the denial. It's time for the... whatever a moderate Muslim is, they're not going to do nothing. I don't even want to say it. That's all false hope. It's not time to reform these religions. You know what? I want more than that. Let's move on past religions. Won't it be great when religions are more like some little social club over in the corner and no longer hold the sway, the priestly class with all his, oh God, they're vetting for power all the time still. So I want to mention a couple of different books here. If you're actually interested in the topic of slavery in the Western world and how Christianity was a big factor in providing the moral justification for the institution. Now, of course, there's politics and a lot of other things that we could bring into this, and for sure, but the people did not twist the Bible or anything like that. It says what it says. So, let me see. What is my favorite of these three books? I'll leave that until last. Okay, the first book generally deals with the stories in the Old Testament, Noah's Curse. If you can Google that, it's an issue or a topic, subtopic in and of itself about one isolated thing. But this is called Noah's Curse, The Biblical Justification of Slavery by Stephen R. Haynes. and it is a really good book. Not too thick, not too thin. The next one is actually kind of really dense. It's a big, heavy, thick book and has a lot of good interactions from the time and newspaper clippings and letters and stuff like that. Really great stuff. And this is called The Mind of the Master Class, History and Faith in the Southern Slaveholder's Worldview. And it's by Elizabeth Fox Genovese. Very good book. I highly recommend it. And my favorite of these three, I think I got a couple more, I'd have to go find them. But my favorite of all the books that I've read, the most in-depth and most powerful book, philosophically speaking and historically, is Slaves in the New Testament, Literary, Social, and Moral Dimensions by J. Albert Harrell, H-A-R-R-I-L-L. Absolutely a really remarkable book. So, to the person that I was talking with, you know, I would encourage you to go and read these books and then kind of get back to me afterwards, because these dialogues just, they don't get anywhere. If one person cites his sources and provides all this other information and you just step over it like I didn't say anything, then you're kind of showing that you're really not interested in truth. You're not really looking for solutions. You're just looking to buttress up your prior commitments to your preconceived religions. On the other side of all this, you got the liberals, the postmodern liberals, the relativists, the subjectivists, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, they kind of provide shade for all the radicals in the world with all their multiculturalism and their moral relativism and all that kind of stuff. But this is a resolved issue. There is no doubt Christianity, the morals of Christianity, the texts of Christianity were used to provide the moral fortification for the institution of slavery. And it was Enlightenment secular principles that brought in the new morality and put an end to the things such as slavery. What's going on in the Middle East is just an extension of the religious psyche. And I am hoping for a renaissance of rational, fact-based thinking. I see the world going in one of two ways at this point. Either there will be some sort of renaissance, and I think there is happening, a slight one. I can see it even on YouTube, a lot of good objectivist channels and a lot of philosophy getting out there. Because if we do not have a renaissance, once again, of rational, fact-based thinking, the other option is a slide into totalitarianism. Only two ways that we can go. So in closing, good people do good things, bad people do bad things, but if you want to get good people to do evil shit, there's nothing like religion.